Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, December 1st. As Benta Berkland reports, the number of formal sexual assault complaints against Colorado lawmakers is now 4.
Complaints are confidential under House and Senate rules, but we were given a copy of the allegations from the intern who wishes to remain anonymous. It says Senator Jack Tate harassed her on her first day at the state capitol. She was 18 years old. She says they were in an elevator inside the Capitol building when he looked her over and commented on her skirt. She alleges that innuendos happened over a 2.5-month period. It also alleges that he made a habit of placing his hands on her shoulder and lingering too long. Democratic Representative Daphna Michelson-Janay, who was her boss, says the situation is heartbreaking.
We have to make a safe space at the office for people to participate in the legislative process. It's the people's work, the people's house. We talk about it all the time.
Michelson-Janay says the intern told her about the instances on the intern's final day when she quit. At the time, the woman didn't want to file a complaint. But Michelson-Janay says she feels like the intern's hand was forced after Republican Senate President Kevin Grantham said people with concerns should file formal complaints.
To be fair to all parties involved, that's what the rules are in place for, is to protect folks in all these situations, that we make sure that we follow those procedures, we follow those rules so that all folks' rights are taken care of and complaints are taken seriously.
When told of the specific allegations in this complaint, Senator Tate responded with a text message saying he takes this issue very seriously and he's glad that a process is being put in place to clarify this situation. In an earlier statement, he said he was unaware of any instance in which he made an individual feel uncomfortable. Since our first story about Tate on November 16th, 7 women, including lobbyist Cindy Sovine, have come forward in the media and praised his professionalism.
I certainly think that there's a point where we go too far, and we have to be clear about what the boundaries are within the context of interpersonal communication and dynamics, but what may make one person uncomfortable may make another person perfectly fine.
In another story in the Colorado Springs Gazette's political publication, Colorado Politics, Sovine said Tate is very respectful of his wife and daughter and the women around him. She later clarified to us and expanded on that statement.
I just didn't want the intern to feel like I was speaking for her experience, which is what I felt like the article said. You know, it didn't happen to me, so it didn't happen to you.
But the intern behind the complaint says she did feel that way after reading online comments suggesting that she wasn't sexually harassed. She says she was motivated to file a formal complaint saying, quote, "If people need a report to make it real in their minds that this happened to me, that's messed up, but I'll do it." Under the state capitol's workplace harassment policy, innuendos about someone's clothes are listed as examples of possible verbal sexual harassment. Even with all that, the issue is tough to tackle, according to Anne-Marie Jensen. She lobbies for sexual assault and domestic violence victims. Jensen says it's especially difficult for people who have a good professional relationship with someone to believe that person could behave inappropriately.
Just because someone has been professional, kind, and nice to you, and publicly is kind, doesn't mean they haven't done something inappropriate.
In another instance, a former legislative aide filed a formal complaint against Republican Senator Randy Baumgartner, alleging that he slapped and grabbed her buttocks 4 times during the 2016 legislative session. Former lobbyist Holly Terry and Democratic Representative Faith Winter have filed complaints against Democratic Representative Steve Lebsack for unwanted sexual advances and vulgar and inappropriate discussions. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Inside Energy's Dan Boyce explores the connection between Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke and conservationist President Theodore Roosevelt.
Pretty much any chance he gets, Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke brings up his idol.
Teddy Roosevelt had the courage 100 years ago. The reorganization is going to be bold and look at just as Teddy Roosevelt did.
And if the manager of most of our federal lands is going to take after anybody, it's hard to find a more appropriate muse.
Roosevelt is generally regarded as the father of the modern conservation movement.
This is Whit Fosberg. He's president and CEO of the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership.
When he was president, he set aside somewhere around, 230 million acres of public lands for the future of people forever.
That's larger than the states of Texas and Wyoming combined. It includes 150 national forests, 5 national parks, 51 wildlife refuges, 4 national game preserves, and 18 national monuments. Zinke often pays his respects to that legacy while still pushing the pro-industry line of the Trump administration. Here he is earlier this year at an event called Unleashing American Energy.
Our public lands are unique on this globe. We want to make sure we protect them, cultivate them, but you can use them wisely.
Reporter Michael Doyle covers the interior for E&E News in Washington, D.C. He says that's all part of Zinke's agenda.
Very explicitly part of his agenda to open up the public lands to greater use under the theory that they belong to the public for multiple use.
This is an ideological struggle over public lands that goes back at least to Roosevelt. The country's different land designations, whether national park or wilderness area or whatever, all have different rules. Let's call it a conservation spectrum. On one end, you have multiple use lands, like national forests, that allow timber harvests or energy development, with the understanding those lands will eventually be left in good condition. On the other end of the spectrum would be lands managed for preservation, like national parks, the goal being to keep those places as close to their natural state as possible. Roosevelt believed in that entire spectrum and designated lands accordingly. And in that way, reporter Michael Doyle says Zinke does take after Roosevelt.
Secretary Zinke, he has complicated, nuanced views, even if at the same time, industry is probably going to win more battles in his department than it loses.
Zinke's department recently unveiled a controversial plan to double some entrance fees to help shore up a major budget shortfall for the national parks. Also, he's been jetting around the country visiting parks to increase their exposure. Still, perhaps the most criticized move of the new secretary's tenure has been his recommendations to shrink the size of at least 4 national monuments. The law creating national monuments was signed by none other than Teddy Roosevelt. Here's the Sierra Club's Dan Ritzman.
It's terribly ironic that we have somebody who likes to call up the name and compare himself to Teddy Roosevelt, but the major thing that he has done in his 9 months as Secretary of the Interior is try to undo this act that was signed by Roosevelt and to strip protections away from places that were protected using this act.
Zinke argues the original law says monuments should set aside the smallest amount of land possible to protect sites of national interest. He says the monuments he recommends shrinking do not follow the spirit of that law. However, in his recommendations to President Trump, Zinke also suggests establishing 3 new national monuments. No final decision has been made. For Inside Energy, I'm Dan Boyce.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Friday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.